show hell hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
Yippee-ki-yay! This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I'm live with you today with an entire roll of Necco wafers, courtesy of, actually, somebody sent me a whole box of Necco wafers. They went out of business. This candy has been around since 1847, and I don't know how a candy company as good as Necco. See, Necco wafers, they also make the camera's off a little bit. Let me turn the camera here. Here we go. They also make those little Valentine hearts, and they just, it's powder, and they just press it, you know, with a lot of pressure, and the pressure and the heat of it, you know, makes it stick together and gives you those little Valentine hearts. Not the sweet tart ones. I don't like sour things. I don't like tart things. But for some reason, this company went out of business, and all of a sudden, there is no Necco wafers anywhere in the world, and no little sweethearts, or no little hearts candy that tastes like this. And then I guess somebody bought the company and put it all back together again. And man, I love them. Anyway, you guys are doing great with your homework. I was asking about Ezekiel 1 and told you to study whirlwinds, and some people, man, they did. They got on it. And I like some of the things they sent in. Let me look in my inbox here. This one is from, and I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce the name right. Zoel, Z-O-E-L, Zoel. Hi, Pastor Mike. I read all the whirlwind occurrences in the Bible, and I think they are what the scientists call wormholes. Let me do this. I don't know if I can do this or not. If I can maybe download these, put them on the screen, something like that. Maybe I can do it like that. I think that's probably close. I do. I really do. I think the thing with whirlwinds in the Bible is obviously they are energy. Some form of energy vortex. Let me explain a vortex. Flush the toilet. That's a vortex. Pull the plug out of the bathtub and watch the water go down the drain. That's a vortex. A tornado is a vortex. And what's interesting to me is that it follows the Fibonacci pattern ratio of a swirl. What am I trying to think of? Vortex. But anyway, it follows that ratio. And I can't even think about how to describe the Fibonacci. I wasn't ready for that today. But anyway, it follows the Fibonacci ratio, and it's pretty cool the way it looks. And we were studying in Ezekiel chapter 1, where Ezekiel sees the vision of God. He's by the river Shebar. In verse 4, he says, "I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, and also out of the midst thereof, came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man." Now, somebody wrote me an email, and it was they put it a very nice, respectful way, and I never have a problem with that. Never. I never have a problem with people saying, you know, Pastor, I disagree with you, and here's why. Pastor, I think you're wrong on this. Here's why. I don't have a problem with that at all. It's when they start out by saying, you're such a scumbag liar. That's when I don't even read or pay attention to what they have to say after that. But this person didn't do this. I was talking about satyrs. And when I read the verse here in verse 5, they had the likeness of a man, is what made me think about that. And my mind is running all over the place today. And I will tell you this, I already feel like the anxiety, I'll call it the anxiety devil, is here today. And he's been trying to push buttons on me today. So if I like shut everything off, there's a reason why. But anyway, he sends me an email, and he is sort of disagrees with my take on what a satyr is. I'd have to read the email to try to remember exactly how he put it. But I had mentioned, and I had showed you Tuesday, that the medicine man that was on the Skinwalker Ranch, if you remember that, said that the Skinwalkers, and he had this big long Navajo or Ute Indian name for it, but he said it sort of means coyote-like. And so as soon as I heard that, I took that reference, coyote-like, and it made me think of, and then they started showing the pictures, and I showed you the pictures of these men dressed up in, with these animal skins on them. So sort of, they were sort of like gods who had a human shape, a humanoid shape, but they had hair on their bodies. And in a very kind, respectful way, he said, I don't really think you should use mythology to determine what's in the Bible. And he said the word satyr is only used twice in the King James Bible. And he said, in, you know, one place, you know, the satyr shall cry to his fellow. And he said that describes, I forgot what animal it was. So anyway, he had a disagreement with that. And the fact that I referenced mythology. And so what I did was I said, well, let me kindly correct or at least explain what I mean when I was talking about that. It is true that the word satyr is mentioned as that word only twice in the King James Bible. However, the root word for satyr, and let me put this up on the screen for you here. Let me do this, and I will press this. Click, click. This is blueletterbible.org, and I type in the word satyr, like I did here, and do a KJV search, and I hit it. If I typed in the word satyrs, there's another verse, there's another reference to it, and it's in Isaiah 13, where it mentions satyrs. So Isaiah 34:14, the wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the wild beast of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. And this person was saying that, you know, that was some sort of animal that, you know, made a crying sound to another of its kind to draw it over to it. We know a lot of animals do that. They'll call one another you know, to form a group or maybe to mate or whatever. But the word satyr, the Hebrew word, which is, I'm going to click it here, go to another tab, is sa'ir. And the word, all that it means is hairy. It's like the word in Isaiah 14 where the King James translators translated it Lucifer. And I'm trying to remember the exact word, but all it means is like bright. And so the NIV then decided, and all the other modern translations decided to make that morning star. And it has nothing to do with it being the morning star. Christ is the morning star. Lucifer's not the morning star. And even the Luciferians know who Lucifer is. Anyway, so the word sa'ir, Hebrew word, it means something that's hairy. And it's translated by the King James translators certain ways depending on the context. In 28 references, like a kid. And it doesn't mean a child. It means the literal meaning of the word kid, which is a young goat. 24 times it's translated as a goat. Twice, and I was incorrect in explaining, when I explained back to the guy that questioned me, I said one time, but actually it's twice. It's translated as a devil or devils. And that, but the bump, 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 that's what I was getting at. Because I believe that the skinwalker being described as a coyote-like humanoid creature is a devil creature. Also hairy and rough, and it's actually used in two occasions to describe Esau. That's another one. Bah, bah, bah. So if you remember, and I went through this Tuesday, Jacob puts on goat skin and hair on his arms to masquerade as his brother. And when Papa feels the fur from the goat, he's going, yep, I mean, you smell like Jacob because you smell like your mom, but you feel like Esau because you feel like a goat. I mean, you know, at least he didn't. I guess he was expecting him to smell like a goat too. So my point is that I absolutely believe that while, yes, obviously, according to the Hebrew usage of the word sa'ir, there are earthly animals that are hairy that were called sa'irs or satyrs, and were literal kids or goats of a goat flock. But in those two places, let me look those up, where it used the word sa'ir for a devil. Leviticus 17:7, and they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, which in this case is satyrs. And 2 Chronicles 11:15, and he ordained him priest for the high places and for the devils, satyrs, and for the calves which he had made. Obviously now, we have two verses, two witnesses using the same word, and the word literally means hairy, that we have creatures that are humanoid in the spiritual realm. These are devils. They are hairy, scary devils. And I believe they could be a Sasquatch, a Skinwalker. How about this one? A wolf. A wolf that has the ability to change and shift its appearance. Yes, I'm talking about shapeshifters. Where does that come from, Pastor Mike? Well, let's find out. What did Jesus warn us about? Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They look like sheep, but their internal nature is that they are wolves. And best sermon I ever heard on that, Pastor Kelly said, I'm going to give you something so profound that you'll have to get out all kinds of Greek and Hebrew and big commentaries on it. I'm giving you something so profound, you'll never find it in any of these. It's so deep and so profound. And he said, wolves in sheep's clothing are not sheep. And I went, that's amazing. Never thought of it that way before. And he was dead on right. Wolves in sheep's clothing are not sheep, they're wolves. They're very, very, very deadly. Very dairy. But Paul said it. I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So, now let's get back to this Ezekiel thing and the whirlwinds. Somebody else sent an email. Pastor Mike, I'm appreciative of the way which you continue serving the Lord. I'm praying for you and your family in the ministry each and every day. I appreciate that. Totally appreciate that. May the Lord continue bringing you good things from his word. I have said it before and say it again. God bless the folks that put together the Pure Bible Search software. Actually, it was one folk, one person. Donna, the software lady, just as a ministry of her own, out of her own heart. When I put out the call, she responded. I was willing to pay to have this software made. She said, no, I'll do this for the Lord. And buddy, she did it. I mean, I love this. It took me a while to start using it because I was still using QuickVerse 3.0. And then once I started using it, I found it far better, far superior in every way. I love it. But anyway, he says, this person sending in the email, here's my take after studying the word whirlwind. I found in studying the occurrences of the word whirlwind that the word is found throughout the Old Testament only. Good catch. The Pure Bible Search software found the word whirlwind appears 27 times in the scripture. The plural of the word whirlwind appears 2 times, and in both instances of whirlwinds plural, they appear from the south, and that's from the book of Job. The whirlwinds come from the south. Regarding the singular word whirlwind, it only comes out of the south 1 time in Job 37:9. A north whirlwind, when looking at the context of the scriptures around it, appears 6 times. One of the more fun parts of doing this study was to search out words that seem to go with whirlwind. That's it. You're doing the right thing. Because what you do is you study this word, and all of a sudden you're going to see in more than one occasion, a word's going to be joined with that. Like the word alien. If you just study the word alien or aliens or alienated or whatever, You're going to see the word stranger connected to it. So what that's telling you is study aliens and then study the word strangers. And then somebody sent me this verse the other day. I never thought of it. But what did Paul say? Be careful to entertain strangers, for you might be entertaining angels unaware. And I went, that's exactly, that's perfect. That's spot on. So sometimes, and you can't say that every occurrence of the word stranger and alien means, you know, something from outer space that's going to invade Earth one of these days. You can't say that. Because in some cases, we're the aliens and strangers. We're the ones who were not born here. Not our second birth. Our second birth is from New Jerusalem, from heaven, Jerusalem above. So sometimes it means us. Sometimes it means just somebody who is in your country, and God told Israel to be nice to them. And people, Americans, listen to me. Be nice to immigrants. Be not, this whole nation was a nation of immigrants. And just because you and your forefathers had lived on that land for the last 150 years, doesn't mean that because somebody new comes along that you shun them. I know they got different ways about them, and sometimes you can't understand them, but be nice to them, because God said to Israel, you were aliens when you were in Egypt, and the Egyptians took you in. You were strangers there. And they were mean to us. And God is saying, that's exactly right. Don't be like the Egyptians. Be better than they are. So not every form of the word alien and stranger in the Bible means aliens from the celestial realm. But certainly in some cases you can look at it and say, yeah. So he finds this guy finds the word whirlwind with chariots, desolate, fire, flame, wind, water in its forms, like seas, rivers, waters, clouds, the wicked, arrow. I love it. I love what you did with that study. You did that's exactly it. And keep those notes. Keep those notes that you have, because you start keeping a notebook of things that you find in the Bible, and then all of a sudden, maybe one of these days, you'll start opening up pages, look, because something will come to your mind, and you'll say, ooh, look at that, I found that last year, and I made a note on that. And that's happened to me more than once. Now, I sent myself an email. I got an on the local news channel in St. Louis, the CBS affiliate, this story showed up. Strange, let me put it up on the screen for you, and there's probably going to be 10,000 ads. Strange light spotted in the sky over Arizona Wednesday night. So I'm going to go ahead and hit that, but I'm going to...
Homeowners, this incredible tip is just for you. If you owe less than $331...
Skip the ad. But anyway, people saw strange lights over the sky in Arizona Wednesday night. I don't know what this is. I'm not going to play the audio, because YouTube kind of gets nervous when I play somebody else's content. I don't want to get a strike on my channel, I can tell you that. He's talking about the Starlink. Okay? And a lot of people saw that. My son called me and said, Dad, I'm seeing a bunch of lights in the sky. Now, was that Starlink? I don't know. But more and more and more unidentified aerial phenomenon is being seen. It's increasing. And I'll tell you what else is increasing. The amount of news stations that are covering it. The amount of news coverage that it gets from local TV stations, from national, like CNN, cable news, MSNBC, things like that, Fox News. Tucker Carlson's not afraid to talk about it. Now, in June, there was something written into one of the COVID bills before Trump was illegally voted out of office. There was something put in that bill that demanded, that made it a law that said that the 17 intelligence agencies of the United States of America and the Department of Defense had to release all of the documents that they had that were not classified. They had to release all of those documents by June, which is next month, that deal with UFOs, unidentified aerial phenomenon. Have to do it. So next month, there is going to be you're going to hear a lot of things that some of you don't believe in. You think that UFOs, flying saucers, little green men from Mars, they're like Santa Claus and Easter Bunny, and they don't exist. And why, Pastor, or why anybody would even talk about it is beyond them. Well, I have a reason for doing it. Because I believe from the scriptures, when it dawned on me that Daniel chapter 2 and the kingdom that Daniel was trying to explain to Nebuchadnezzar, when it occurred to me that this was no earthly kingdom, the fourth kingdom, made up of principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, when it occurred to me that that kingdom was going to be the kingdom that was going to rule over this world, then I started putting everything together, which said the nation, the kingdom, the people that take over this world in the last days as part of the kingdom of the Antichrist, they're not humans. They're not people like us. See, all of that's been tried before. Alexander the Great, Egypt, the Roman Empire, the Greece Empire, Nebuchadnezzar, Adolf Hitler. It's all been tried before. Communism. You've had people trying to rule the world. But what you have to deal with is humans. Humans who don't want to be ruled over, who don't want to be dictated. They don't want a dictator leader over them. And so they rise up at the expense of their own blood. They rise up and say, "You're not going to rule over me." And these kingdoms always fall and fail. This fourth kingdom that Daniel's revealed to Nebuchadnezzar is not going to fail. It's going to succeed in taking over everybody. And they're going to do it in a way that was never possible before. They're going to do it by ruling from inside of man, not outside of man. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. It's the ultimate form of devil takeover of the human being. It occurred to me that, yes, spirits from the heavens, spirits from hell, were going to rule and reign over mankind. Instead of man being given dominion over the beast of the field, the beasts are going to be given dominion over mankind. Daniel chapter 2, Deuteronomy 28, and on and on and on and on and on. So, I had my secretary today. I've mentioned this, I've asked the church and I've asked people to pray for me about this. There is going to be a MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, symposium in Lost Wages, Nevada, in the end of August. I talked to Sweetie Pie. Now, this is not her thing, you know, UFOs. And I've explained it to her several times. You know, honey, this is not, you know, Martians coming from Mars. These are gods. Okay? And, you know, I don't mind that my wife doesn't do all the study and all the things that I do. She keeps me grounded, actually. She does. She keeps me to where I'm more than just a one-note singer. Okay? If you notice, on Sunday morning during the sermon or whatever, I very, very seldom speak much about the things that I talk about on PMO. I try to keep them different and have different types of ministries. Because people, we can talk about UFOs today all we want to, but you might have a sin issue that I might need to deal with Sunday. And talking about UFOs is not going to help you with your sin issue. So she helps me keep grounded. But I talked to her about it, and I said, you know, I want you to help me pray about it. And she does. And so I sent in the vendor booth registration form. My secretary is sending it out today. If we get a booth, that we're going. Now, if they write back and say all the vendor space is gone, there's no room for you, then we won't go. But if I get a booth out there, we're going to go out there and we're going to give away the DVDs that I've made so far on UFOs and cryptid creatures and different things like that. Plus I'm making notes for some new ones that I'll probably make this summer. And then at the end of August, we're going to take a little 2-week road trip. We're going to see the Grand Canyon and see a bunch of stuff out that way. And then take our RV to Las Vegas and spend 3 days at this hotel giving out thousands of DVDs and then kind of make a little road trip back home is what we're going to do. So help us pray about that. And, but in advance of that, for those of you who have not decided yet that you are a believer in UFOs, flying saucers, unidentified flying objects, let me help you with what the scripture says, because we're in Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is in the whole first chapter of Ezekiel, and then the 10th chapter sort of reiterates it. It tells you that God does actually have a chariot that he rides in. And his chariot, and this is what's different about God's chariot. God's chariot is actually a living thing, a living creature. Okay? Deuteronomy 17, is that on the screen? Let me make sure that's on the screen here. Where's my mouse at? There we go. If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a man or a woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the host of heaven. These are other gods, is what they are. which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing into thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. God's serious about this. So people like Stephen Greer, Tom DeLonge, Linda Moulton Howe, who, I mean, I listen to these people and I listen to the information that they have found. Some I believe, some I don't. I won't believe it until I can find it for sure in the scripture. But they, in some cases, they talk like they want these things to come. They want them down here so bad so they can, you know, join with them and let's have a new world and we can stop all the politics and all the bad things that go on in the world. These gods are going to help us with energy. We won't be driving, you know, polluting cars anymore. There won't be any more climate change. Ha, 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 ha. Like that's a real thing. And that's what they're wanting. They're wanting these gods to come and deliver us from all of our problems. Somebody sent me the email the other day and they said, Pastor, I was watching a thing on aliens and UFOs and they said that, you know, the aliens said that they put us here. And if I've heard that once, I've heard it 1,000 times from any number of UFO books and UFO videos that they put us here. They have rights over us. And they're going to come and intervene so that we stop destroying our planet. The movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Now, I want you to think about that reference now. That, why call it that? Why call that movie that? Because it's about an alien who looks like a human, Kla'atu, in both versions, the 50s versions and then the 2000, I think it's about 2002, 2004, somewhere around in there, Keanu Reeves plays the alien. The Day the Earth Stood Still, to me, is a reference to Joshua 10, when Joshua commanded the sun and the moon to don't move, because I got a war to fight. And in both versions, the alien comes and he's going to stop the humans. Because we have nuclear weapons now, we're a threat to the other galactic alien entities. And there's hundreds of them, he said. So they're going to put a stop to us humans and basically kill us all because we have nuclear weapons and we don't know how to use them and we're a threat. And a similar thing is being said by these gods. It's a lie. It's a setup. Who do you think started the whole global warming lie? Because it's no, wait a minute. If we go back to the 70s, it was global cooling. We're cooling the planet and it's going to freeze over. And then they had to change it because that's not what was happening. It's global warming and all the ice is melting and all that means it's going to flood California. And that's not happening now either. So we have to call it climate change. And now it's climate something else. And it's a scam. And the aliens that are appearing to people are telling them this. God said, if you serve these gods, we'll take you out and stone you. Look at verse 5. I love my Bible. I love my King James 1611 Bible. Because it says, then thou shalt bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. Do you know what that is? It's Daniel 2. Because after he sees the fourth kingdom, he sees, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and this kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. It's the stone that Nebuchadnezzar saw that was cut out without hands that comes flying through the air and stones the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. That's what that's a picture of. Any type of, when they killed Achan for stealing stuff from Jericho after they lost the battle of Ai, they stoned him to death with stones. Why? Because it's a picture of how Jesus is going to destroy the fourth kingdom by stoning them. So don't serve these gods. Deuteronomy 13. Certain men, the children of Belial. Who's their father? Belial. Belial and Baal are all the same. The children of Belial are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. Bingo! That's who we're dealing with. These gods that all of a sudden now in 1947, after Kenneth Arnold sees these boomerang shaped, what they call planform disc. They were not round, completely round, saucer shaped. He actually drew a picture of them. They were more like a rounded boomerang than anything. And where they got the word flying saucer was, he said they seemed to skip along the tops of the mountains. And that's right in your Bible. I mean, that's right in your Bible. And so the news picked up on that and called them flying saucers. Let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. Now all of a sudden, boom, there is an increase, a dramatic increase. It got so bad with people seeing flying saucers, they kept calling the Air Force. The Air Force did not want to get into the business of investigating UFOs. So they came up with Project Blue Book. They hired... I can't remember who it was, but anyway, they hired the guy. He was a skeptic. He was supposed to say, these are nothing. I'm a pipe smoking science expert, and I'm smarter than everybody else, and I'm telling you that you're seeing swamp gas. He's the guy that actually came up with swamp gas. And that was, I think, the Kecksburg, Pennsylvania UFO thing, where there was a UFO crash in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, and hundreds, if not thousand, people saw it. And he did the investigation. J. Allen Hynek did the investigation, and the Air Force is demanding that he not come up with anything that would make it sound like it was some sort of ship from outer space. So he invented swamp gas. I may be wrong on the Kecksburg thing, but it was a bunch of people saw it. And Hynek knew that they were not lying, and he knew that they saw some sort of craft that did weird things and it lit up, and he knew then it had to be of extraterrestrial origin, and the Air Force is turning the screws on him, saying, you better come up with something. So he says, that was swamp gas. See, I'm smoking my pipe, and look how intelligent I look. But he lied. He lied through his teeth. And then after they shut down Project Blue Book, making everybody think that there really is nothing to be worried about, J. Allen Hynek goes all over the country saying, I lied. I lied through my teeth. These things are real. These are some sort of manifestations from the heavens, from an extraterrestrial source. And yes, we have something to be worried about. That's what he did. So God said, if anybody says, let us go serve other gods which ye have not known, then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, and the edge with the edge of the sword. Deuteronomy 32:17, they sacrificed unto devils and not to God, to gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up, because some of these UAPs are not, do not originate from the heaven. They come up out of the earth. They come up out of the sea. This Bible's right. And they are the ones whom your fathers feared not. Your fathers knew nothing about them. God is saying there is a brand new thing happening. Brand spanking new. In a way that nobody ever could have pictured it, could have thought it. Judges chapter 2, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I've made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And people, if you're chasing your tail with internet rumors and lies and not in your Bible where you need to be, you're fixing to be caught in a snare. And you know, and I had a guy in our church explain the difference. He traps animals. He's a trapper. He fishes, he hunts, and man, he's good at it. It's Michael, the difference between a trap and a snare. The snare, I want to get this one right. A trap is where you put in bait and you lead the animal into a trap, like a rabbit box. Where you put a carrot in there or lettuce or something like that, and the bunny, the rabbit goes in there and trips the thing, and the cage falls, the gate falls. But a snare is something where you lay along the path that the rabbit or the fox or whatever animal it is, that it's a path that they walk every day. Now let me unhook the UFO weirdness for a minute, and let me say this. The internet knows your habits, doesn't it? The internet knows, the devil knows, the path that you take every day. One of these days, he's going to lay a snare there. Because he knows you're going to walk down that road. And I have no idea what road it is for you. I know which one it is for me. There's several. But he's going to lay a snare there. Because he knows, he's seen you go down that path. Day after day after day after day. And he's just laid a snare there to set you up. That's what it is. That's the difference. And I'm just going, man, that'll preach. Deuteronomy 32:17, they sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Their God shall be a snare unto you. Psalm 82:6, I have said your gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So, we know they are gods, which means that they are of a higher dimension than we are. Not three-dimensional. They don't have... They're more than width and length and depth. They have a fourth dimensionality to them. They are of a higher dimension, which means that they can do things that we cannot do. It means that we can't even fight them in our three-dimensional realm with bullets and knives and atomic bombs and all that stuff. Nothing works against them. They're the ultimate comic book bad guy, because nothing except Superman can kill them. Okay? I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. God is saying that some of these creatures, some of these devils, these gods, because they're doing stuff that they should not be doing, mingling in this world, messing around in it, God himself says, I'm going to let you fall. Think of things that fall. Dagon fell. He was a god. He was a god, wasn't he? He fell twice. Every time you see Satan, he's falling. Isaiah 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Jesus says, I see Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Revelation 12, Michael prevailed in the war and cast the devil out of heaven. He's falling. Every time you look at him, he's falling. Then they throw him in the pit. What does he do for 1,000 years? He falls. These gods that come to this earth, God is going to do something to them so that they die a mortal death. They die a death like we die a death. Gods aren't supposed to do that. Revelation 6, I beheld when he opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And this is what happens immediately after the tribulation of those days in Matthew 24. And again, thank you. I'm reading the comments because I've asked the question in the last two Watchmen broadcasts, if you can show me a 7-year tribulation, if you can show me a tribulation period lasting 7 years, I'll believe it. And I will make the video that says, boy, was I wrong. I will. I would love to do that. Because one thing that I value more than anything is in, I want people to believe me. I don't like being called a liar. I really don't. It really bothers me. And if I'm lying about something, if I'm so totally so wrong about something in the Bible, I'm going to get in trouble when I stand before God. I am. And I'm not looking forward to that. So I would rather take the punishment here than to take it for eternity. I would. I'd take the beating down here any day of the week. So I've been reading the comments on YouTube, and I appreciate those of you who are writing comments. And because apparently you are seeing the same thing I'm seeing, which is the absence of a 7-year tribulation. The absence of it. It's not mentioned. It's not spoken of. Nobody ever said it. Which causes me to start asking the question, where is it? Anyway, this verse 13, the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. So we know the stars, these bright objects in the sky, boom, falling down to the earth one of these days. And eventually they will die like men die. So, could Roswell have happened? According to this, yeah. According to the scripture. And you have more than that. You have, I don't know if I have it in my notes here. No, but you have Ezekiel. Let's see here. Ezekiel 20, 28. Yeah. The Son of Man saying to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I said, in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God. Boom. You're a man now. And not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. So now, this prince of Tyrus is going to die like a man dies. In Isaiah 14, where it talks about Lucifer, son of the morning. It says, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which sins weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, except God won't let you. Imagine that. Nope, I'm going to do it. I had a young man that was sort of, you know, young in the ministry. And there was a church that had called him to preach. And he said, looks, you know, they wanted him to try out there. And he said, looks like I'll be moving out there and taking that church over. And I kind of giggled, and he said, what? I said, they invited you to preach, right? Yeah. I said, they're trying you out, right? He said, yeah. I said, what if they don't like you? What if they don't vote on you? What if they say, no, we don't want him? Then it means you're not going out there. That's what that means. You might think now that it's God's will that you go out there, but if that church says no, you're not going. It's that simple. Anyway, and anyway, here's the devil going, I'm going to sit in God's throne. And God says, no, you're not, you idiot. But he said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And he says in verse 16, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? And we're obviously talking about Lucifer. Helael is the word I couldn't think of earlier. Helael, which means shining one. And the name Lucifer, that matches 2 Corinthians 11. See, translators knew this. They either knew it, or the Holy Spirit guided them. Because in 2 Corinthians 11, it almost says exactly what Lucifer means. Lucifer means the bearer of light, the bringer of light, the messenger of light. And so, 2 Corinthians says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Angel means messenger, a Lucifer, a light bearer. That's, so you have two witnesses now. That's his name, Lucifer. And the King James, the only Bible in the world you're going to find that in. All right, back at the ranch. Revelation 12, there appeared another wonder. In heaven, the behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. If you watch Steven Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when the aliens show up at Devil's Tower, which is the opposite of the Mountain of God, Mount Sinai. In Close Encounters, you have 12 people who meet the mothership goddess at Devil's Tower. And there's even in the movie a reference to the movie, The Ten Commandments. I'm not kidding you. It's the opposite of the 12 tribes meeting God at the Mountain of God, Mount Sinai. Okay, Spielberg, being a Jew, knows all about this. But anyway, when the aliens and their ships start making an appearance, you see like falling stars shooting out of the heavens. Some of them, once they fall, they take the formation of like the Big Dipper flying through the air. And that of course, gets everybody going, "Whoa, look at that!" And people, right now, the most fascinating thing in the world for people to see is a UFO. If a UFO appears, I mean, people stop everything they're doing and they get their phone out and they film it. Or they're just stand just dumbfounded in awe. It's been going on ever since people had cameras. And now that practically everybody in the world has a camera in their hand constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every time one of these things makes an appearance, somebody's getting their phone out, taking video of it, taking pictures of it. They have captivated the minds of people. Everybody wants to know what these things are. Revelation 12, verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So what did they look like? What did they look like? These were the gods of Samaria. Big heads, big eyes, little skinny neck. This is, let me see if I can outline this for you. This is the head here. These are the eyes, big, and I want you to understand how big this is. He's got his hand waving, body, legs, boots or feet of some kind. There's another leg here, there's another leg here. Just so you understand the scale of this creature. Here's another hand. This is on the side of a mountain in Nazca, Peru. You remember the Nazca lines where they drew all these lines and you can only see, you can only detect what they are from 10,000 feet up in the air. They were not discovered until the 1920s when a guy flying in a plane, flying over the Nazca plains, looks down and says, "Good grief." Only he probably said it in Spanish or something like that. This is actually the side of a very large mountain. Here's the mountaintop here, and here's the valley below the mountain. Okay? The size of an automobile would be about like this here. That's how big this is. Who carved that into the side of that mountain? We have no idea how that got there. But it looks like that, doesn't it? Imagine that. Here's some more. Big almond-shaped eyes on a big head. These are gods that, at, I believe, at some, and this is what I said in the email to the gentleman, very nice, email, very cordial, and I love it when people can disagree in a gentlemanly Christian way. Even if he doesn't agree with me still, I'm fine. But I believe that in days past, these were not myths that they experienced, that they made up tales that they told their children. I believe that at some point, some of their ancestors saw these gods. Is it possible for humans to see gods? Yes. Paul said, be careful to entertain strangers, for they might be angels. There was two angels that came to meet Abraham and Sarah. And those same two angels went to Sodom, met with Lot and his family. They looked just like men. They ate food. They had got their feet washed. I mean, I can't explain it, but that's just how it was. Somebody said, well, that's how they appeared to them. They appeared to be men. Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does not say anywhere that those angels were there under a false appearance of looking like men. It doesn't say that anywhere. Because, and some people, that's their argument when they don't want to believe that the angels mated with human women. Because they said angels are spirits, and we know that spirits don't have a form, which is not true. It's totally not true. Every angel that God created is a spirit, and every angel that God created has a form. And if you, well, okay, I'll show you. First of all, let me show you. That the spirit of man has a form. Job 26:13. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens, and his hand hath formed. That's not the one I'm wanting here. Maybe it's the word form. No, let's see here. Spirit, that's something. I'm not finding the verse that I know is there. Let's see here. Yeah, here it is, Zechariah 12. I knew it! And layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. There, see? He formed the spirit of man, gave it a form. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, we are told that there are terrestrial bodies and celestial bodies. We are told that right in here. It is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory, is sown in weakness, raised in power. There, it is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And it also tells us that if it's a body, it came from seed. To every seed his own body. Weird looking ET type aliens that supposedly Spielberg just made up out of his head. No? I think he was inspired to make these. Let me just say this. The idea to show you how much Steven Spielberg was in on UFO Secrets when he wrote the script for Close Encounters. He wrote the script and directed the movie himself. Every part of that movie was him. It came right out of his imagination. And just to show you how much he knew about UFOs and aliens, if you've watched the movie, you saw little children with big heads and big eyes. They actually hired, a lot of the filming of those scenes down in a Air Force hangar in around Mobile, Alabama. They contacted a dance teacher, local dance teacher, and said, we need girls about the age of about 6 or 7 years old, because we're going to dress them up to look like little aliens. And so you had all these girls from this dance troupe hired to be in this movie. That was like 1975, 76, 77, somewhere around in there. At that time, no one was reporting it was happening, but no one was talking about it. No one was reporting or talking about these little childlike aliens with big heads and big eyes. No one was talking about that. It wasn't until Whitley Strieber came out with the book Communion in the early 90s where people freaked out when they saw the painting of the alien that he had had encounters with. People saw that and it recalled to their memory things that they had seen but couldn't remember. And so all of a sudden you had people coming out of the woodwork in the 90s going to see hypnotherapists, psychiatrists, being hypnotized, doing regressions, talking about how they were on these alien ships and these big-headed aliens with these big almond eyes and gray, white, grayish-white skin. When Spielberg came out with that, no one knew that that's how those aliens had been appearing. But Spielberg knew. He was either told by the stories that he read, we know that one of the consultants of his film was J. Allen Hynek, because he gave him a scene in the movie. So Spielberg knew the scene. He knew what he was doing, and practically every part of that movie and every story of an alien encounter in the movie Close Encounters was based on a real event. Something that really happened. Now again, if this is all like, Mike, I can't handle this stuff. This is all people, this make-believe, it's not in the Bible. I'm telling you, it is in the Bible. These are the gods. They have different forms. Not all of them look like small children with big round heads and big almond eyes. Not all of them look that way. Some of them look like dragons. reptiles, lizards, snakes, crocodiles. They take on various forms, and people throughout history have carved them, painted them, memorialized them in some fashion, some way, because they were their gods and they worshiped them. When I was talking about reptilians, look at this one. Serpent, this is a serpent mother goddess with the body and the head of a snake. And oh, by the way, she's like the prototype of the Virgin Mary as she's giving suckle to her infant baby. Now that's crazy, crazy, crazy. But the ancient civilizations didn't just make this up out of their imagination. The gods that they served inspired them to draw, paint, sculpt, mold, fashion images that looked very similar to the gods that they were serving. This is in China. Of course, you know, everybody's eyes in Asia, even the gods' eyes, are slanted for some reason. That's how they see the world. And we don't see the world that way, so we don't slant the eyes. Aboriginal art. Notice you have serpent here with these big, pale, I mean, these are what people are seeing in their nighttime experiences. They flew in chariots. These are the Vimanas of old. Chariots, ancient sky chariots. Here's one. All of the sun gods, the sun god rode in a chariot pulled by horses across the sky during the day. Didn't matter what culture it was, didn't matter what century it was, they all believed in a sun god, that the sun was pulled across the sky by a chariot of some kind. I think in Egypt, the sun was pushed by a dung beetle, a scarab. The Hindu sun god, the Vimanas from the ancient Sanskrit Vedas, depicted chariots of the gods flying through the heavens, able to go anywhere at almost any speed. And that's this was discovered not too long ago in India. I mean, almost perfect detail of the gods. And I don't have a problem calling them alien gods, because the scriptures. Let me show you one. And I probably mentioned this the other day, but in Lamentations, our inheritance is turned to strangers and our houses to aliens. And so let's just assume now that this verse is talking about a future event where the fourth kingdom and the people of the fourth kingdom who are part of that, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, where those people as they're being kicked out of heaven, as they're being led out of the pit, they are going to, like a flood, I'm using biblical language here, as a flood, cover the earth. Or they come as a cloud to cover the earth. The day of the Lord is a day of clouds and thick darkness, the Bible says. And God says it in so many different places, in multiple ways. And that's what I'm doing now, is I'm trying to collect together the different ways that God describes this kingdom is coming. He describes them here as strangers and aliens. He says in another place that they are a nation. They're the terrible ones. He says that they are a nation of fierce countenance. He mentions in at least two places, and there's even a third one that I could link into that, where it says that they speak a language that no one knows. Now, currently on this earth, I am not aware of a language that a certain group of people speak that no one else on the earth knows. I'm not aware of one. This is going to be a people whose tongue no one will understand what it is that they're saying. No one will. And they're going to be released on this earth as a judgment and as part of the wrath of God upon a people of this earth who refuse salvation. They refuse the grace of God. They won't turn to the grace of God. There's somebody I know right now that they're experiencing a very, very bad time. A family member is dying. And I have witnessed this person multiple times. And I'm going to continue, if the Lord gives me an opportunity, if this person actually dies that's in their life, I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to try to witness again to them. But so far in witnessing to them, I've gotten nowhere. Absolutely nowhere with them. This person loves to drink. That's a big problem, because this particular person will more than likely drown their sorrows in alcohol. And you would think that when bad, terrible, horrible things happen in a person's life and you present to them the love of God, you would think that they would turn to it, but they won't. In most cases, some do, but in most cases they won't do it. Why? They love their sin more than they love God. And because of that, God is going to have to pour out his wrath upon them, and he's going to have to allow them to be ruled over by the most cruel of all authorities. Men, I've seen what cruelty men can do. But let me tell you, beasts are way more cruel than any man ever is or ever has been. And this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with beasts. Now, let me pull the scriptures back up here. To tie this in, I'm gonna get done a little early here. I've got a visit to make. I'm going to try to see Sister Bonnie. I'd like for you to pray for her. She's not doing well, so just lift her up if you would. This is Brother Roy's wife. And here's how I'm tying this in with Ezekiel 1. Ezekiel sees out of the midst of the whirlwind, and that whirlwind, I believe, is like the guy said, Zoel, if I'm pronouncing it right, like a wormhole, like a portal that opens up between our world and, let's say, heaven, the third heaven. So God immediately just opens up this whirlwind, and he comes and he's here. Twice in Job, the Lord spoke out of the whirlwind. And that sort of gives me, there is a place in the Bible that says their wheels on their chariots are going to be like whirlwinds. Which whirlwinds have everything to do with gravity. And I think these, and since we don't know really what gravity is, we know that it is something, we know we can measure it, we can see its effects, but we don't really understand what exactly gravity is. It's sort of a mystery to mankind. But let's say it's just some form of energy that God and angels know how to wield that energy. They know how to use it for their benefit. So the Ezekiel chapter 1, I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. We mentioned that Tuesday, and a great cloud, a fire enfolding itself. Fire is energy. Think of fire as energy. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof is the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, meaning they were humanoid in their appearance, even though they had different features about them. They may have had fur, they may have had, you know, hair, they may have had feathers, but they were a humanoid in their being, shaped like an upright man walking. Okay? The four living creatures, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet. The sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. So let's say if the eagle was facing, let's say, east, if the chariot was moving west, then the eagle was looking backwards, always to the east, okay? No matter what direction the chariot went, it didn't turn. It stayed like that. Verse 10, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, and on the right side they four had the face of an ox, on the left side they four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. The number four is very prominent here. You have four creatures, four faces with four wings. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. Why? Because when God made all of the angels, every one of them, the good and the bad, he made them out of the substance of fire, which, in other words, he made them out of pure energy. If you can comprehend that, he made them, you could say, like he made them out of electricity, if you wanted to picture it that way. But they were made out of fire, flaming fire, the Bible says. His ministers of flaming fire. was the substance that he made them from. Pure energy. So that's why Paul said the celestial body is different than the terrestrial body. The terrestrial body, we're not made out of energy. We're made out of dirt. That's all we're made out of. Now, I want to get to this, and we'll maybe pick it up on next Tuesday. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. See? I mean, this is like fire and lightning. It's pure energy in these forms. And as I beheld the living creatures, behold... verse 14, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Shaboom, shaboom. Like my sound effects. Which means that they defied the three-dimensional world's laws of physics. They did not start, accelerate, get to a speed and maintain that speed. And then in order to stop, they didn't decelerate to a stop. They instantly moved forward. Lou Elizondo, who was hired by the Pentagon to run the ATIP program, Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, said that his job was to study unidentified aerial phenomenon and how it was that they were able to move from one place to another without acceleration, without deceleration, to be able to instantaneously make a certain speed. They go from zero to 12,000 miles an hour without accelerating up to it, without shifting gears, with nothing. Just boom, they're gone. And that's exactly what these things do. That's how God... doesn't it sound to you like God is explaining to us what the world is seeing for our benefit? That's what it sounds like to me. In other words, God could just say, hey, there's angels and they can do all kinds of things you can't, and leave it at that. And we would believe it. But God now is spending time in the Bible, spending real estate, writing this out to explain to us how angelic chariots move about. So that when we live in a time when these evil angelic chariots start showing up, we don't have to wonder what they are. We know what they are. God is spending time here to teach us these things. I suggest that we spend time studying it so that we don't get caught up in the ooh and ah, those things are absolutely amazing. We want you to come down and show us your amazing vehicles and show us your amazing power. We want that to happen. God's spending the time to teach us how all of that works and how all of it is, because I'm telling you, starting in June, if that report comes out, and it's supposed to by law, that's all you're going to hear for a while. And you're going to hear some weird stuff that your comrades in arms saw that they were too scared to tell you about. time. And I talk to these guys who were in the military, and every now and then, if I find out that they were at a nuclear base, I ask them, did you see anything flying around in the sky? And most of them say no. No, never saw anything like that. Now, they could be telling me the truth, but they're not going to tell me that. They're not going to admit that. Because they came from a time when you did not admit that you saw a UFO. But the time to pull the covers off is now. Because we're approaching that time. I love you. Bye.